You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Ooh, doggy. Let's see if we're live.
Yo.
Can you hear us?
Let us know in the live chat if you can hear us. We have no producer today, but we care about you freaks. So we're here from the beach.
We are here. Let me see if we are live. Not live on Twitter yet. So we're live on Zap.stream.
Did I miss? I missed the Twitter stream.
We're live on YouTube.
Can I add streams? Edit channels.
No, you're. Let's see.
There we go. We got people in the YouTube chat. Awesome, wonderful. What's up, freaks? How's your week?
It's been a good week. I've had a good week.
You've enjoyed yourself?
I have.
Cheers. Cheers.
First live rip since Nashville, in person.
Since the Bitcoin conference.
Yeah. Drinking some beers, as you can tell. Main escape to La Playa. Are we disclosing the location, or
we're not disclosing. We're not disclosing the location. We're here with our families, trying very hard to make sure that they don't run into frame. It's been 6 years, never missed a week, so here we are, freaks. We're here with you.
Thank you for joining us on a Saturday. Yeah, this is the first time I have less buttons than you.
Yeah,
I think.
I need my mic to work.
You can set it up like I have it.
This isn't OnlyFans.
Yeah. It's been a powerful week. We're down in an undisclosed location in the jungle. We're here for an HRF event.
So every year HRF does a technical event with developers and activists. The first year was focused on eCash. Last year was focused on mobile wallets, mobile Bitcoin wallets. And this year was focused on Nostr and how to make Nostr more useful for activists, how to make it more effective at non-technical users joining. Mm-hmm. So the main reason we do it is we do it because of this amazing gentleman named Alvaro, who runs the Reynolds Foundation. And he brings us all down here in partnership with HRF. This was your first time. What did you think of it?
I thought it was great. Chatham House rules, so I won't disclose who said particular things. But I think the one thing that stuck out to me from the programming was this idea of social media and how it's evolved over the last 20 years, really hijacking our attention. And there's two simple phrases that were pointed out. We spend time and we pay attention, and that is completely stolen from us via incumbent social media, where we are the product.
Yeah, they've monetized our attention.
Steal our attention, monetize it. And we've been saying things like this: spend time with your family, pay attention to what's going on. And this idea of time as a currency that we allocate day in and day out, it's never been really driven home to me as abruptly as it was this week. And I think we've talked about it before, and I think I'm more convicted in the belief than ever after this week that Zaps via Nostr are a way to completely reorganize the incentives of quote-unquote social media and how we interact with the internet.
Yeah, I mean, so my focus for years, right, for years has been how do we bootstrap P2P Bitcoin usage, bootstrap Bitcoin as freedom money? And it's been a hard slog, right? Mm-hmm. Like Bitcoin as a store of value asset has found massive success. We have Larry Fink, we have Michael Saylor, we have President Trump, you know, all promoting Bitcoin as a store value asset. I feel like we've effectively won that fight and that movement. The next question is, how do you actually get broad-based Bitcoin adoption of people spending and earning Bitcoin? And I'm pretty sure that Nostr is a key aspect of that. I mean, we see people nonchalantly just sending hundreds of thousands of sats every day to people on the internet. You know, we're looking at our Nostr live chat right now. We have Marshall Mind zapped us 10,000 sats, Easy zapped us 2,100 sats. And they also don't think in the dollar amounts. They're thinking in sats amounts, right? And so from that, right, if you think about our time is incredibly scarce, it's the only thing more scarce than Bitcoin. The single biggest focus point to hasten and accelerate adoption of Bitcoin as freedom money is to hasten adoption of Nostr. If you bootstrap Nostr as a social layer, Nostr will then bootstrap, Nostr as a social layer will not only bootstrap Bitcoin payments, but will also bootstrap Nostr for all the other things that Nostr can enable. You know, things like Nostr Airbnb or Nostr Uber and all these other different other things that are not necessarily social related. Or Zap Store, right? A Nostr-enabled app store. So I think if you just focus on Nostr and focus on building out Nostr adoption and building out the tools so that they're as useful as possible for onboarding newcomers, then we get everything else in return. And as Marty said, one of the key elements is, like, I would just like to see more and more Nostr apps that have Bitcoin wallets built in. I think Cashew is the ideal fit for that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at it, it's, you know, and if someone joins Nostr, they should just be able to immediately receive zaps and they shouldn't even really think about it. And I think that trust model, obviously Cashew is custodial, but for small amounts, them getting started, it's incredibly private. And the money that they could lose is money they wouldn't have received otherwise, right? Because the whole point is, they now have a Lightning address that they wouldn't have otherwise had. So if they lose a zap, a 1,000 sat zap, they weren't getting that zap anyway. So I feel like it's a reasonable trust model. I think a lot of developers coming out of this are going to be very focused on adding Cashew wallets to their Nostr apps. And I think all of a sudden it beautifully compounds and becomes beautifully complementary to each other.
Yeah, we were talking about this yesterday. The only client that's implemented this really to date is Iris, and you can receive into a Cashew Mint automatically. It sets you up with a wallet. Was it mpub.cash wallet?
What, Iris?
Yeah,
Iris will automatically use mpub.cash, which is a Cashew wallet, and he's either about to implement or he hasn't implemented yet for the sending side. But I think the sending side is slightly less important. It's obviously you need that to be there as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, that user experience, like the user just signs up and just immediately has the ability to receive zaps. And if you think about it, for like the past decade, there's basically been four projects where I've actually seen organic viral developer interest. And that's been Bitcoin, Lightning, Cashew, and Nostr. And if you think about broad-based user adoption, they've all had difficulty as open protocols. It's a very much a gradually then suddenly type of thing. But from a developer adoption point of view and a viral developer adoption without top-down, you know, central planning, it's pretty remarkable to see. And Nostr and Cashew clearly have that. So we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, and there was an individual at the event who's been around a lot of these open source projects and highlighted the developer. And it's been a meme in like Bitcoin and particularly broader crypto. Like ETH is like, oh, the devs will come, like it'll be important, but like they're building on a less solid base. And there was somebody at this event who highlighted, who's been around the block for a bunch of these different decentralized open protocols, distributed open protocols, just open protocols generally, that said the developer attention and the fervor around Nostr is reminding him of past projects that he's worked on. And I think that's the beauty of open source too. People can, you know, I think Nostr compared to Bitcoin, becoming like a Bitcoin core developer is much easier, lower barrier to entry to get
it's not even close.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think the last thing I would add here is, you know, Nostr is incredibly early. I think it's important that we have many different types of Nostr apps, right? And I think a lot of the pushback in the early days of Nostr adoption has just been functionality and UX, right? Mm-hmm. And I think certain apps will do better at onboarding newcomers. You know, I think Primal, for instance, has had a very strong focus on giving you just as polished of a user experience as possible, and there's still a lot of work to be done there, right? But then once they come into the ecosystem, then they can easily take their Nostr private key, right, their NSEC. One of the participants who's not a Bitcoiner first said that actually non-Bitcoiners don't think of it as a private key, they think of it as a magic string. They can take their magic string and they can move between other Nostr apps by copying and pasting it. So I think as we see more polished apps, more people will use it, more people will stick around. And they probably won't even realize necessarily that it's a censorship-resistant alternative. They might realize that it's more freedom-focused, right? Because you do feel the freedom, especially when you switch apps with your magic string.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that leads to, I think, one of the low-hanging fruit sections of a potential user base that could be focused on moving forward, which is this idea of Facebook groups, Reddit groups, Discord servers. I think that was another thing I took from this week, is that there are a number of individuals running these groups on these centralized platforms. They're not happy. They often get kicked off and are forced to recreate the group and rebuild the base. And
it's not like the most extremist things ever. Someone gave a really good example, which is
horse videos.
Yeah, there's like a massive Facebook group of 300,000 people that all they do is share videos of people falling off horses. It's like funny videos of people falling off horses. And apparently there's like an animal rights activist group that keeps deplatforming them off of Facebook because they say it's bad for the horses if people ride the horses.
Yeah.
So like these little things that I think a lot of people have just come to accept, right? That you just don't have freedom on the internet, will naturally start to realize that if there is a better way, and if that way is just as convenient, if not more convenient than the alternatives, then of course they're going to use it.
Yeah. So I think Facebook, we've all been focusing on X and Twitter and Instagram, apps like that. Obviously Instagram's under the Meta umbrella, but I think this idea of groups and marketplaces too, we were talking about it the other day. Like Facebook Marketplace is inarguably incredibly valuable for people. I mean, and I've used it before, but not directly. I don't have a Facebook account. When we rented our house a few years ago, we needed dining room chairs.
Yeah.
And my mom went on Facebook.
Dude, it's so bad. Nannies and furniture.
Yeah.
We have so much difficulty, me and my wife, getting babysitters because we haven't had Facebook for a decade. And the marketplace stuff. Groups. I mean, there's one Nostr dev that says like his main focus is just getting his church group off of Facebook Messenger.
Yeah.
Little things.
Yeah. I think there's something there.
I see in the Nostr live chat that I guess I don't know whose MPub this is because it's not refreshing, but that he has 50,000 sats that says that I didn't successfully orange pill Lionel Shriver. He went back and listened to my podcast on Scylla Dispatch, which was a dope conversation, and he thinks she's 95% there, but that she's not orange pilled. You know, the Bitcoin donation address that we all donated to is public. And I believe she still has 1.2 Bitcoin, all the Bitcoin that she received from the donation. She told me specifically, so she's the author of Mandibles. She told me specifically that she's...
I've never heard of that book.
She said she's holding till the apocalypse. So she's still very much on brand. But I think she's sold. I think that's kind of proof in the pudding. But I would love to have her back on. I think I probably will have her back on soon. And I see someone in the YouTube chat saying Odell doesn't read the YouTube chat anymore. I see someone else asking me to explain my Sailor post on Nostr, and they're in the YouTube chat asking that, which is kind of crazy. I sent it like 15 minutes ago. I actually asked Marty if it was too provocative before I sent it. And Marty said it was provocative, but not too provocative. What's your opinion on what I said?
I mean, we talked about this the other 2 weeks ago when he released his digital asset framework, in which he tried to delineate between digital commodities and digital currencies, and I think I said it then, I would not be surprised at all, because MicroStrategy is going out there, raising these convertible notes, issuing equity at the market, and their core business line is still only producing, I believe, $500 million in annual revenue or cash flow. And if they're going to scale up this Bitcoin accumulation strategy and take on all of this debt, I think just naturally they're going to need to increase their cash flows. And one way in which they could do that is bring the Tether model to MicroStrategy, which is issue a stablecoin and just rip the flows of the treasuries that they hold as liquid assets as cash flow for the business. So yeah, wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, Tether is making $2.5 billion a quarter. Anyone with eyes knows that's an incredibly juicy business model. And we all know Saylor is a hustler and is very aggressive and wants to get as much Bitcoin as possible. So it's hard to imagine he's not thinking about it. I would put it at like 90 to 100% that he's thinking about it. Now, I did hedge myself a little bit by saying 40%. And why is that? It's because, first of all, like, it is very difficult to compete with Tether, and it's very difficult to launch.
It's
a
proven
coin.
To be impossible to compete with Tether. We've seen a number of stablecoins come and go. Circle, over the last 4 years, has been marketed as this Tether killer. Yeah. It's the Goldman Sachs blessed
and
American.
It sucks. Yeah. It gets no adoption. They tried to pour money into it. Yeah. They're getting absolutely crushed in the market. So there's one thing, him wanting to, seeing the opportunity, and another thing, actually executing and making it a reality, right? And actually, like, making it happen. That's how I'm thinking about it. I think he definitely wants to. And I actually didn't give an opinion on whether or not I think, like, what my opinion of that is. I just left that up to the viewer. I will say, there's many Saylor fanboys are a special beast.
Why do you say that?
And no matter what I posted, they were going to give me shit. I still hear from a bunch of them that my call, which wasn't even a prediction, that he was blocking funding for open source developers with the ARK ETF, was slanderous and despicable.
It was libelous. You wrote it. You didn't say it.
Yeah.
Or, no, you did say it on the show.
What?
You said it on air. You wrote it.
I mean,
he did it.
Slanderous
and libelous. He's checking both boxes.
He did do it, and now ARK is supporting OpenSat's Ahrefs and Brink, which you absolutely love to see.
Yeah.
And, you know, if some people want to still give me shit about it, they're welcome to, and I'm glad open source developers have continued support and more support. There's still a lot of work to be done on that front. And to be absolutely clear, and I think I was very clear at the time as well, Saylor's well within his right to not support open source developers. I just think there should be some pressure if other people are not doing it because of him. They should see both sides of the coin, so to speak.
Yeah.
Everyone should be making their own decisions on this kind of stuff.
But back to the MicroStrategy stablecoin, your theory that it would happen again. From a business perspective, that cash flow from the treasury yields is very appealing. But I would caution anybody trying to compete with Tether, like, unless they get hit with a cruise missile, which we've been mourning about for 7 years now on this show.
It is incredibly impressive how long they've run Tether for.
And I think,
in a very hostile regulatory environment.
Yeah, and I think if they've made it this far, it's hard to believe that they're going to get taken out behind the woodshed. They're systemic in two ways. Not only for the economy of people using stablecoins and trading in and out of Bitcoin or sending cross-border payments, but now with the treasury auctions, they are the 16th largest buyer of treasury. Yeah. So they've sort of...
And that's how Saylor has been positioning it, too.
Yeah, and they've built themselves into this systemically important actor that's bridging the digital economy with stablecoins and the fiat economy with the treasury market. So I find it hard to believe they're going away. I think that team has proven that they can execute. We've said it, like, for 7 years, they are the pirates of the industry, and they're very effective at what they do. And whether you believe that stablecoins are fueling the dominance of the dollar or not is, I think, separate from just taking an objective look at the business they've been running and how they've executed. It's pretty miraculous.
No, it's incredibly impressive. And I would say there's some nuance here, right? Because first of all, never use Tether. Bitcoin's my stablecoin. Sats are my stablecoin. I respect that a lot of people have a need for dollars that are outside of the system, right? And particularly dollars that they can use on their phone very easily, that they can send and receive at a very low-cost way, in a very, very forward UX way. And clearly, there's massive, massive demand. And when I went to Argentina and I went to the black markets, you know, they didn't accept Lightning Bitcoin, and they accepted Tether on Tron, right? Tether on Tron was the standard. And so I respect that, and I understand that. And they've run a really, really good business. My biggest concern is that these digital USD tokens, right? I don't even like calling them stable coins. They tend to very much look like privatized CBDCs, yeah. Right? And there's a lot of people that are saying, oh, well, actually, if there's no central bank involved, it's not a CBDC. But I...
We've got one walking through.
I have my son walking behind me, okay, and we're good. We're clear. But they kind of look like CBDCs, and in practice they can be used for effectively the same way as a CBDC is working. And in the American fashion, the way you implement all this stuff is you don't do a centralized social credit score. You have private corporations do it, yeah. Right? You don't do a centralized CBDC. You have private corporations do it. And then you have massive private-public cooperation. But all that said, Tether has worked within the confines of the regulatory system. They do censorship, right? They do freeze assets. They can freeze your wallet at will. They have partnerships with Chain Surveillance and the IRS and the FBI and whatnot. But all these other tokens are going to be way worse.
Yeah.
Like, there's no doubt in my mind that Tether is a more freedom-focused steward.
I think Paolo is a true cypherpunk.
Yeah, he cares. Like, yeah. The Tether people seem to actually care, and they're actually Bitcoiners. You know, I don't think a lot of the new entrants that want to compete with Tether are necessarily the same way.
No.
Without pissing off, you know, like...
Too many people.
60% of new Bitcoiners, apparently. That is my feeling on the matter.
Well, and this is where I know Whitney Webb and Mark Goodwin have been getting a lot of shit from much of the Bitcoin community, but I think what you just described is what they really have nailed down perfectly, is that their worry is that stablecoins become a go-to means to save and spend wealth, where I think we've said pretty consistently for, again, 7 years, that if you're going to use Tether, do not hold it for the long term, just in, out of the wallet,
yeah.
If you need it as some sort of alternative payment,
a transactional rail. Money.
Yeah. And I think there's validity there. Where I think I disagree with the most is that Tether getting to, and other stable coins getting to a certain size threatens the success of Bitcoin. And maybe I'm misconstruing how they actually articulate that, but I think that's what many people take from their messaging. And the most important thing, what they've been messaging and what you described, is this public-private partnership. And I think that's one thing. I know we've got the inauguration here in 10, 11 days, whatever it may be, nine days.
Is it the 21st?
It's the 21st or 20th? I think it might be the 20th, 9 days. And I know a lot of Americans, myself included, have been very optimistic about the incoming Trump administration, but I do think we have to be vigilant about the people that he's surrounding his administration with,
yeah.
Particularly those who have stakes in companies like Palantir.
The PayPal mafia is not going to save us.
I don't think so.
Andrill, the killer drones powered by.
Everybody's focused on
OpenAI.
Everybody's focused on chain analysis. I could see Palantir getting into chain analysis. Maybe they
already probably
are.
Already do.
Yeah,
they're probably great at it.
Yeah, and just incorporating that into stablecoins and whatnot.
Or how about everyone loving Zuck? Like WhatsApp.
Oh, that's what. Yeah.
WhatsApp has like. Billions of users. Their only issue is growth rate. Their only growth hurdle is how many babies are born. If they added a Bitcoin wallet, they would be the number one chain surveillance firm in the world.
Yeah.
And it would all be proprietary information.
Yeah.
They'd also be the number one Bitcoin wallet in the world.
Well, that gets to another point, which is a subject we talked a lot about this week, was the PayJoin. The PayJoin implemented by Bolt Bitcoin, I think, is going to be extremely important that other companies replicate what they've done and implement it. And we've talked about this quite a bit too. Not only is it better for privacy, but it is literally an economic decision for exchanges particularly, because
yeah.
it creates the ability to batch transactions and do that cheaper. So if you're a company,
yeah, it's
like
just
Strike,
more
River,
efficient.
Yeah.
And then you get the side effect of privacy benefits
yeah.
for end users. It breaks the probability analysis that is used to track Bitcoin. When you track Bitcoin, it's always a guessing game. Some guesses have a higher probability than other guesses, and you're basically just trying to determine when ownership changes.
Yeah.
But of course, we can send Bitcoin to ourselves, and so that's where the probability analysis comes in. And a lot of that probability analysis relies on this common input ownership heuristic, where if I send a transaction, all the inputs are believed to be belonging to the sender. PayJoin breaks that. And if you start seeing it in batch transactions at scale,
You can't even tell they're PayJoin. That's yeah. the beauty of it. It just looks like a regular transaction.
Well, that's why it breaks the probability analysis. If you knew, then it wouldn't break the analysis.
Yeah. And somebody at this event was just pulled up one of these PayJoin transactions on mempool.space, and it was insane. You had no idea. Like, he knew what Bitcoin ended up in his wallet at the end of the day, but just by looking at mempool.space, it is almost impossible to tell that's what happened.
Yeah.
So we need more of that.
Bullish.
Yeah. But going back to Zuck.
Yeah, let's talk about Zuck a little bit.
There's been a lot going on in the world since we've been on the...
Zuck did Rogan. I haven't listened yet.
Zuck did Rogan.
But, like, Zuck now is... Zuck and Elon are going to save us. They both care about freedom of speech.
Did you watch any of the clips or see any of the excerpts?
No.
So essentially, apology tour on Rogan. He's putting his hands up saying, we had no ability to control what happened during COVID. And he was complaining that the Biden administration had members of their team reaching out on a daily basis to censor posts, particularly about COVID. And he, I believe, was trying to position that they were trying to push back, but then the Biden administration started using legal means to attack parts of their business and essentially threaten them with legal action in other areas if they didn't do it. And so they were sort of compelled to comply with the censorship. And alongside the Rogan rip, Meta completely eliminated DEI policies within the company. They took the tampons out of the men's bathrooms.
Did you watch that clip?
Yeah.
I didn't watch that clip. Did he just say that with a straight face, that we took the tampons out of the men's bathrooms?
Yes.
And took no personal responsibility for putting the yeah. tampons in the men's bathrooms?
I think it's separate of the Rogan episode, but Meta came out with a statement, we're not going to
that's
be
such
following
a ridiculous
through with DEI
statement.
Policies. We're ripping DEI policies out of Meta's
That is such
company.
An insane statement to make as, like, give me credit.
Yeah. Well, that's...
Like, I would end Rabbit Hole Recap forever.
Well, going back to...
Instead of being like, you're welcome, freaks. We took the tampons out of the...
Yeah.
Out of the men's bathroom.
There's never been tampons in the Rabbit Hole Recap men's bathroom.
We don't even have toilet paper. We keep it frugal here at RHR.
But that's... And that's one thing to worry about. You see it happening. You've got mothers chasing to grab babies before they get into the
My wife just fucking sprinted out of the room. They got him though.
No, but that's going back to public,
we got him.
Public-private partnership. That's one thing again. Everybody has to be vigilant about as the Trump administration rolls in. Who knows if it's like 4D chess and. A calculated attempt to
It's not 4D chess, dude. It's 2D chess.
Rebuild, like, public trust.
It's the first of all, it's the easiest thing to say because you have this new administration that is cozying up with Elon, right? And obviously he's one of his largest competitors internally in America, right? Obviously, if you look globally, TikTok is a bigger competitor. Maybe Google is considered a bigger competitor. I think some people, like 4 billion users of Google if you include search. But like, he has zero risk shitting on Biden, right? He has zero risk saying it after the fact. It's only an advantage. And talk is cheap. Like, you can say all this shit and not actually follow through with it. And that's why we need, like, actual protocols that empower individuals, that allow you to take and defend your freedom. Things like Nostr and Bitcoin. Like X money, Facebook money, whatever their implementations are of... They're not a CBDC. are not going to be good for human freedom. They will not protect you. No. The only thing that protects you is math and actually doing the work and actually using it.
Got it. It's nap time. It's nap time.
Did I get him in time?
You got him. It's nap time.
Are we cutting the stream?
It's nap time by the playa.
Sorry for the crying. Just know that it's fatherhood is a beautiful, exhausting experience.
It really is. It's been a fun week getting the boys, getting all the kids together.
There we go.
Yeah.
It's been wonderful, all of our daughters hanging out together.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing that's going to, like, talking about this narrative, DIESG, BlackRock, pulled from the net zero accord. BlackRock officially pulled out. American Airlines had a judge rule against them. They were pushing all their pilot pensions into ESG funds, and the judge ordered that they were doing that essentially as a virtue signal, and it was not in the best interest of the pilots who were receiving that pension. And so it seems like, due to efforts of us and many more individuals across the world in the space and in other spaces, ESG and DEI are dying. But as we know, and as we've been describing, all of these actors will put on a facade and try to essentially resurface with some other means of gaining control over our everyday lives with some new alphabet soup analogy and stakeholder capitalism rebrand.
What about the, so Hoddle shared on Noster, he shared on Noster the clip of the LA firefighter DEI clip.
Oh my, Logan's not here, so we can't have him pull up, but it is pretty insane.
Go to primal.net/Hoddle, and you can see the clip.
Do you need another?
But it was, yeah, I'll take another. It was basically, a female firefighter being like, well, I constantly hear people say,
what happens if you need to save a man from a fire?
If you need to carry a man out of a fire, my response is, why'd you get yourself in the fire in the first place?
I can't carry you out of there. I mean, that's the other big topic of the week. Prayers out and...
Yeah, no, that's brutal. That sucks.
My thoughts and prayers, everybody in L.A., the Palisades and Malibu area who are suffering from these wildfires that have broken out over the last 4 days.
I think they were mostly arson, right?
I think it's too early to...
Are they a PSYOP?
I think it's too early to definitively say. I think there have been people that have been caught inciting fires, but maybe they're like inspired by the wildfires generally, like just burn it all down. It's either arson, which I mean, we know from the Canadian fires from a couple
years ago.
You can't
rule them out.
That was arson, but I think there is a level, whether it was arson or not, I think the level of incompetence by the California state government is undeniable. They have completely neglected to maintain their forest system, take care of brush, and on top of that, we've diverted an immense amount of water to the ocean that could have been used to put out these fires, all to save the smelt, which is a fish that I don't believe is in danger of going extinct.
What are smelt?
They're actually good. Have you ever never had a fried smelt?
No.
It's very fishy fish, but that's Christmas Eve, we go to a party in Roxborough, Philadelphia. Typically, I didn't make it this year, but typically we make it, and it's part of their seven fishes is fried smelt. You do it, some crunchy blue cheese.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad they protected them then.
They sent a bunch of, I believe, millions of dollars worth of fire department equipment to Ukraine earlier this year. Gavin Newsom is a complete psychopath, sociopath, and a completely incompetent individual when it comes to running the third largest economy in the world, I believe. And yeah, if you look at it, like, there's Chilean cartel gangs running around LA now looting people. Brian Norgaard, who I sit on the board of a company with, he's been live tweeting and sharing videos for the last few days. It's not a good scene in the aftermath of these fires. People are taking advantage of it. The state of California is not stepping up to actually alleviate the situation. It's bad.
I mean, it's fucking brutal. And as Marty said, my heart goes out to everyone affected. That fucking sucks.
I mean, tying it to Bitcoin too. The state has been so misrun, and highlights this real. I mean, the amount of insurance claims are going to go unpaid from this, I think, is going to be a major headline that will begin to eke into the news over the next few months. I don't think most of those
insurance
are getting paid
companies
out
without
a bailout.
They'll just try and fuck you.
Well,
and they might not even have the money, right? They might be insolvent.
Probably. I mean, this is a massive, what's the term in insurance and accounting? Act of God, or I believe it's an act of God or something like that.
Yeah, they call it act of God.
Yeah. Which is an extreme black swan event. Like, I don't think they're going to be able to pay it out. And I, from what I understand, insurance companies have actually stopped allowing people to re-up their fire protection policy.
It's like flood insurance. You see similar with flood insurance.
Yeah, in Miami and the Southeast when hurricanes hit.
And it's particularly brutal. I mean, I think this is where you were going with it, is like people's entire life savings is usually in their house.
Yeah.
Right, it is, the house is the savings, right? And clearly, and as a result, that makes them vulnerable to natural disasters, wiping out their savings, but it also makes them vulnerable to really bad jurisdictional practices, right? Where you're locked in and you're stuck. you're locked in and you're stuck. My son is continuing to try and come into frame while screaming dada, which is incredibly cute. One other thing I did see, before we switch topics, is this a psyop to make us forget about the aliens in New Jersey?
I don't think it's a psyop. I mean, the fires are very real and there's been material damage, so it is happening.
The aliens are here.
Yeah, the aliens are here.
This is the first we had a terrorist attack, and now we have this.
The terrorist attack actually being a terrorist attack is something I do quite. I sent you you guys didn't get this, but
no,
that's
a psyop.
Literally yeah. 2 hours after we ended the recording last week, the video of the journalist walking through the terrorist apartment less than 24 hours after the attack.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like in Lululemon's.
Yeah.
She's just like walking through it. She's like, and here's where he mixed his chemicals.
Oh, look at the Quran open up to this particular passage.
There's a bunch of Quran. Absolutely. But it was to make us forget about the aliens.
People haven't been talking about it.
Don't forget about the aliens. They're in New Jersey and the rest of the world.
And this is actually, going back to the fire, this is another fucked up thing about the fire. It's like Biden came out and said we had the full support of the Los Angeles area people. The federal government is here for you. And this is 2 months after Western North Carolina, parts of Tennessee,
yeah,
Virginia were completely dicked over by the Biden administration. Like, I've seen videos from Asheville.
Yeah.
This week it hasn't recovered. It hasn't
even come close.
It still looks like the hurricane hit yesterday.
No, it's brutal. It's absolutely brutal. It's really fucked up.
Yeah, the government's not going to come save you. Or they're going to pick and choose.
The government's not going to save you. Elon's not going to save you. Zuck's not going to save you. The CCP will save you. Everyone should sign up for TikTok. No, the CCP is not going to save you. We have to save ourselves. You have to learn real skills, think for yourself, practice personal responsibility, and use the fucking tools. That's all you have to do. It's easier said than done, but that's all you have to do. And the sooner you realize that, the better you, your family, and friends are. In the coming decades.
Jevy is confirming that it's all psyop from the aliens. Oppenheimer and Einstein wrote a letter in the late 40s about how we need to establish diplomatic rules for extraterrestrial beings. They lost their security clearance shortly after.
Jevy, learn how to use Noster. You can go to rhr.tv/stream to join the Noster chat. We would love to have you. I miss you. This is one of my biggest losses. Deleting my ex was access to Jevy. And we love you in the ride or die chat. Setting a little bit of arson up to hide the aliens is not like the most difficult task in terms of psyops go.
I mean, the collateral damage, though, is like, you're gonna wipe out billions, tens of billions of dollars of property value.
So the committers of the psyop happen to be heartless. What a surprise, you know?
Yeah, it's a good call.
Okay. What I wanted to talk about that's very positive is, did you see the clips of our boy Joe Kernan? He was absolutely on fire this week.
He was calling out Mohammed El Aran, right?
Yeah, the number one Bitcoin podcast in the world. Carlos, Ride or Die Freak, has been re-listening to RHR, and he listened to the RHR in 2020.
When we played the clip.
Where that became the intro. The intro, you know, that you guys all know and love for RHR and TFTC is from that original CNBC show.
Hey, scat. Scat, sir.
Do not come in front of the camera.
Do not touch the camera either, sir.
Yeah, don't get involved in everything that's going on over here.
Go find your mother, please. Go find your mother.
But Joe is on one again. Joe is really crushing it.
Yeah.
Up.
Sir, go find your mother. Do you want to say hi? You can say hi to the freaks real quick.
You can say hi. The camera's off.
You can say hi,
just
freaks.
Just say hi.
Say hi, freaks. No? Shy. Mike shy.
Mike shy, but still didn't listen to us and just walked right into frame. So this is definitely a rip for the ages. This is probably going to become more common, and I'm pretty excited about it.
I am as well. I've never felt more, and I tweeted this out, I believe, between last week's episode and this week's, like, this is the year to become militant about Bitcoin adoption, because we have a window. And that's why I wanted to bring it up earlier.
The single best thing you can do to recommend to a new coiner is tell them to join Nostr.
Yeah.
I'm letting you know, like,
you're saying in the context, and I feel comfortable breaking
Oh, we're back. We're back.
And our frame's different.
Sorry, we're in, it is what it is. The internet's not great here. We're back.
Kyle.
What was your comment that we ignored?
Bringing sexy back. No Timberlake.
Yeah.
Okay.
Learn how to use the Nostr chat. What were we talking about?
We were talking about urgency, Windows.
Oh, PageOne adoption. Yeah. Sooner we adopt PageOne, the better. The sooner we adopt all these things, the better. There's a lot of things in life, including staying humble and stack sats, where it's important for us to lower our time preference and think long term. But also there's plenty of things that we need to raise our time preference, and time is of the essence. Let's get this shit done. And I definitely feel that more as we grow our families, right? And yeah. you want to see them grow up in a better place.
Yeah. I mean, and on that note, too, I actually, hand up, want to give a public apology for misframing something a few weeks ago, which was the fact that the Chinese long-term bond yields were crashing. And I said, maybe Bitcoin was pumping towards 100K. I was like, don't disregard the potential of Chinese capital flight coming to Bitcoin as their bond yields fall. However, that was the wrong framing. It actually means there's more demand for their bonds. The price of the bond is going up, the yield's falling, and so the reason I bring this up is because if you're looking at the 30-year British gilts, the 10-year U.S. Treasury, and other Western bond yields, they're skyrocketing right now, which is a sign that people are dumping the Western bonds, and China is still has their yields falling.
Mandibles.
It seems like people are actually escaping into Chinese bonds, which is insane. It's pretty clear here, we'll talk some macro right now, that the Fed is not going to be cutting rates again anytime soon. We had really good employment numbers here in the US, which means people have jobs, they have more money, they're gonna spend that money. And so the Fed and others are worried about inflation staying more elevated than it already is, and so the sovereign bond crisis in the Western world is really hitting ahead here. And the Biden administration is dumping 63,000 Bitcoin as all of this is going on.
By the way, that makes the strategic Bitcoin reserve way more likely. I think Trump is taking that personally. If you're selling Bitcoin this week, and it's not because you're all in and you just need to spend it on your mortgage or diapers or whatnot, which is completely reasonable, and I'm there right with you, you're fucking retarded.
Yeah. Okay. No, I tweeted and posted this on Noster this morning. There's a bunch, and you'll see this if you're new to Bitcoin and you're consuming your Bitcoin education or trying to get a pulse on what's going on platforms like X or Reddit or YouTube. Influencers with the O faces. A lot of people are out there marketing, Bitcoin's gonna correct to 80K, it's gonna correct to 65K, and it may happen, but the opposite could also be true. It could rip up to 110, 120, and the whole point of my note this morning was that if you're new and you're waiting for a dip, that's terrible, terrible way to approach Bitcoin. Like, Bitcoin is not about timing the market. It's not about waiting for the dip to buy. It's about time in the market. I think the stat is if you miss the 10, there's literally 10 days a year during these pumps where something like 60% of the appreciation, or maybe even higher than that,
80%. Just stay humble and stack sats about
it. It's not that
it's not that complicated.
But there's a lot of people out there waiting on the sidelines, and my advice to you is don't wait on the sidelines. Get in. If you don't want to ape in, DCA in, and just, you want time in the market. You're not trying to time the market.
Go to the Halving Tracker by Bitstein, whether on Noster or X. Like, we're legit. Right now, just lined up completely with the 2016 cycle.
Yeah.
And if that plays out, then nobody's bullish enough.
I smash bought twice this morning, about this.
What, you still at dollars?
I got paid,
Fair enough. Just stay humble and stack sats, freaks. That's those, if blank, then stay humble and stack sats about it.
If aliens?
Then stay almost.
The aliens are going to want to use Bitcoin. They're not going to take dollars from
it. I still think it's hilarious that if you run into an alien, what you think you should do is throw water on it before you shoot. You should shoot first, throw water second.
Nah, water, you blind it. You get, like, its skin gets all corrosive. It's
You definitely try shooting it first. I think you try shooting it first.
Okay. Shoot, then pour water on it.
Okay, what else are we going to talk about? Joe Kernan was great. Biden and the DOJ just wanting to spite Trump is, like, expected, not very surprising.
Why don't we throw it to the freaks in the live chats across the platforms? If there's any topics we haven't touched that you think we should?
Yeah, to be honest, about. Like, I've stopped paying attention to a lot of this shit.
My screen time this week is down 90%.
That's phenomenal.
I feel really good about.
It's the way to go. Like, when we're winning, freaks, RHR is just going to be like, we're just not going to be informed at all. We're going to go live and just ask you guys what we're supposed to be informed about, because we just won't be paying attention. That's winning. In my book, that's winning.
I'm trying to think what's happened in space that,
I got nothing. Paid joint adoption is huge. We talked about that last week, though. I mean, we should probably wrap soon, because we got things to do.
How's the water? The water is piss warm down here, which I love.
The water's awesome. I mean, if you're eagle-eyed, you can figure out where we are. Like, we're not hiding it too much. I'm just not going to say it specifically.
Oh, I think this is worthy of a shout-out. It is January 11th, 2025, which is the 12th. It's been 12 years since Aaron Swartz tragically took his own life after he was...
Aaron didn't kill himself.
...subjected to persecution from the U.S. government for simply trying to distribute JSTOR files to the public.
I'm like 60% sure that Aaron was killed.
He was talking about this before. I've never heard this theory.
I just think he was killed. He was a very influential person.
Yeah. There's three important... Okay, we're going to help you in a little bit.
We're live right now.
We're going to help you in a little bit, buddy. We're almost done. But January 11th, rest in peace, Aaron Swartz, the anniversary of when he took his life tragically. Anniversary of the first Bitcoin transaction outside the block reward, the Coinbase transaction, excuse me. Satoshi sent some Bitcoin to Hal Finney to make sure that transactions were working on January 11th, 2009. And did you know this?
the anniversary of Julius Caesar crossing the Rubicon.
I didn't know that. No. Maybe they... That's interesting. I mean, you mentioned how Finney... HRF announced their first Finney Freedom Prize. That wasn't Hal. Obviously, Hal won the first Epoch. And they gave a joint prize to Peter Wulla and Greg Maxwell. Well-deserved. Absolute legends. And the whole idea of the Finney Freedom Prize is to award and celebrate people who have made substantial contributions to the Bitcoin movement every epoch. And they have a committee-focused approach to it. And it's all to honor Hal and everything he has done for the space. Earlier this year, on the anniversary of his passing, or of his cryogenic freezing, I had his amazing wife, Fran Finney, on Citadel Dispatch. And if you haven't watched that, you should go back and listen to it. She's just a wonderful human being. She's very much picked up the torch where Hal left off. Particularly with her case, it's focused on ALS, which is what took Hal from us.
Yeah. And before we wrap up, since obviously we're doing this without Logan today. Logan, we miss you.
Yeah, Logan ditched us today.
We hope you're having a great Saturday wherever you are. We're not going to be able to record.
We're going to replace Logan with an H-1B if he keeps missing episodes.
We're not going to be able to record this ad, so we're going to do a little bit here. We actually got two we got
to
read.
We have to read the boostograms.
And we're going
to
read the boost after this. But Stackwork, short one. They're doing a daily bounty challenge on X. So not doing it on Noster. Paul, you got to do it on Noster. So Stackwork, daily bounty challenge on X. $100 daily. You can win KYC-free Bitcoin to one qualifying pull request. You can check it out at Stackwork. That's S-T-A-K-W-O-R-K. And if you just want to see their bounty program, they have it at Stackwork at stackwork.ai to check that out. Well, we also got a new sponsor. I think your shilling has been very good. And they've been impressed. And so they're officially sponsoring the show, BitKey.
It's a pleasure to have them.
Yeah. And so we've talked about it.
Do you have the ad read?
I know what it is. Like Bitcoin, easy to use, hard to lose.
The big key is retard proof.
they're going to love this.
I'm pretty sure you could be clinically retarded and not lose your Bitcoin, which is impressive. It's hard to build that kind of UX. Is it the most secure option? No. I still strongly recommend Cold Card, and I think Cold Card is the best option for people that are more technical focused. But I think for a large portion of the population, BitKey is a fantastic option. The UX is phenomenal. The people building it seem to be really in tune with who their demographic is and building the best products for them. And I will say personally, as someone who has brought a lot of people into the Bitcoin space, being able to onboard them into a secure, easy, self-custody environment that doesn't require a tutorial video, that doesn't require ongoing tech support, is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
So you can find more information at bitkey.world.
I don't know if the promo code's live yet, but try RHR for 10 to 15% off. He's going to get mad if we don't do it too. But if you are somebody like ourselves who runs a business on a Bitcoin standard, needs the proper tools to do that, CoinKite is also a sponsor of the show. You can use RHR to get 5% off their products as a promo code. I use the Cold Card Q.
I personally like the MK4 better.
I like the Q way better.
I like how small the MK4 is. I have no need to compensate.
I'm not trying to compensate. I like the QR scanner. I like the QR scanner. You think it's bad UX. I love it.
I'm SD card maxi. I love the SD card.
Our TFTC hot wallet is Cold Card Q. Keep it in cold storage, but...
I love this. I love Sats cards and Open Dimes for gifts. They're fucking phenomenal. I just gave one. I just gave one the other day for a wedding. So is it RHR as our promo code?
I think so. I think he finally put one in.
Well, there you go. I mean, I think most of the freaks already own Cold Cards.
Buy another one. I'm going to buy another one. I've been gifting it to employees. I've got some employees.
I would just say,
crypto first. They use Phantom Wallet, dude.
I've never heard of Phantom Wallet.
I'd never heard of it until
people were like, here's my phantom Bitcoin address. I'm like, what is that?
I just want to say, like, just a huge shout out to our sponsors in general across the board, because we've definitely developed a reputation where I'm going to show you regardless if you pay us or not. So you definitely have all the leverage to not pay us, and we'll still recommend it. So thank you for believing in us and still supporting the show.
Yeah, and we might as well hit them all. Unchained as well.
Kids are expensive.
Go to unchained.com/RHR. And if you're,
is that our full suite of sponsors?
Yes, it's our full suite right now. And if you're thinking about rolling over retirement,
this is the best mid-roll of all time.
A retirement fund, unchained.com/RHR will take you to a calculator to help you.
Someone somewhere is bathing their child right now, cannot easily press the skip ad button, and is just fucking hating us.
Hey,
I've been there.
Our sponsors are great. Our sponsors are great.
And I'll just throw another mid-roll in. If you don't want any mid-rolls, listen to Citadel Dispatch. You can search in your favorite podcasting app.
Oh, wow. If you do want more mid-rolls, go to TFTC, a Bitcoin podcast.
Let's read Boostergrams. Do we have a topic that we can... The live chat hasn't given us anything. Someone just zapped us 21,000 sats in the real live chat. That was awesome.
Yeah, and Pub is not loaded yet to a full readable name. Top four boosts from Rabbit Hole Recap 338. Happy Bitcoin New Year. Blockchain Bug 5,000 sats. Happy New Year, freaks. At Trevor Agora, 5,000 sats. Excessive immigration is caused by the Cantillon effect, which draws people toward the central money source. Bitcoin fixes this. Monetary value should trickle outward from the individual worker to employee community members, not trickle downward from a central source.
Nice.
I agree with that.
Thank you for your support, freak.
And that was a newsletter I wrote about H-1Bs.
I'm really excited about replacing Logan with an H-1B.
No, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, we're definitely going to do
that.
We can still call him Logan.
We could. Bitcoin fixes it. The H-1B discussion everybody's like, oh, people are gaming the system. They certainly are. We can't have all this. The money's broken globally. People are forced to try to get into America, and companies are forced to game the system and exploit these loopholes to drive their costs down, to become more profitable, because they have to beat inflation, fix the money, and I think all these problems will naturally fix themselves. And I think we have a great example in El Salvador.
I don't think Bitcoin fixes this. I think people fix this.
No, people do fix this. I did hear that earlier this week as well. But
was my presentation good? Did you enjoy my presentation?
I didn't want to dox you. Counterbalance rules.
You can dox me with compliments. I'm cool with it.
It was very good. But reverse diaspora, I think we should work on that. Reed, 2,100 sats. Great tips. Stay humble. Stack sats. Mark, 500 sats. Why do politicians focus on possible terrorist attacks, but they don't mention the gangs from Chile flying to the U.S. to rob NFL players and that dude from The Matrix?
Wait, is that a thing? Is the dude from The Matrix Keanu Reeves?
I don't know. He said that 5 days ago, and this was before the fires, but like that's the word on the streets.
Who's the dude from The Matrix? Is it Keanu Reeves?
I assume so. Him or...
Hopefully it's someone else. Like, you don't know who Keanu Reeves is? Something Fishburne, right?
Lawrence. Did he pass away? He might be dead. Could be wrong.
I don't know. Bitcoin didn't fix that. We have...
Any news on the Start9 router release?
No, it's going to take a while. They should have never teased it when they did, but hopefully soon. Yeah. It's hard to build routers. Routers are difficult. We are currently broadcasting this from a Huawei router, so all of our...
Matt's pro-China now. He got in. He's like, this Huawei router is pretty fast.
No, Marty was like, the speed is great. And I was like, Marty, look at the brand. Someone else asked what my opinion on the Jade Plus is. I don't have an opinion on things until I get my hands on them. I actually like playing around with things. But my gut is, you know, if you're non-technical, use a BitKey. And if you are technical, use a cold card. I don't think the Jade Plus has a secure element. Which is a little bit disappointing to see.
It doesn't? I thought that was one of the bigger upgrades.
I think they make it seem like it does, but
it's
doesn't
have one. It's a
virtual
secure element or something like that?
Yeah, they have a PIN server that they hit. And the beauty of a secure element is it gives you better physical security. You can kind of think of a hardware wallet, a hardware signer as like a safe. And if it doesn't have a secure element, the safe is made out of cardboard. I think that is probably a decent analogy. So that's how I think about it. I know a bunch of people are going to get angry about me saying that. I honestly just don't even give a shit anymore. And, you know...
No, don't say that. You give a shit.
Judge,
you're lying. Don't. Just erase that last 5 seconds. He gets a shit.
Look, you can't do anything interesting without haters, especially on the internet, so... And I would just say that the overwhelming majority of influencers use different tools than the ones they recommend. They simply just recommend the ones that pay them.
I use all the tools.
What else do we have here? We have something else. I'm just doing questions.
We're about to hit an hour on the dot. I think it would be poetic if we did a perfect tight hour.
That's pretty good. Well, we got 20 seconds. Someone's feeling overdressed.
When higher free rates? Never.
Mempool's still clearing.
Mempool's legitimately they were clearing one sat per byte transactions
that
a week ago.
That is not clearing. That is strictly not clearing. You are better off paying 1.2.
You lost your bet with
Catan.
That was one of your transactions.
There was no
reach out.
There was no bet.
Do you want to tell the freaks your alpha about setting fee rates?
Always never set. If you're going to set one
this
sat
is,
per
this
byte,
is alpha I haven't heard before. I
you
like
should
this.
Set 1.2 sats per byte or 1.3 sats per byte so you're ahead of everyone else. The good wallets allow you to do decimal point fees. And so you're always ahead of the queue of everyone else. If you're going to set 5 sats per byte, you should set 5.2 or 5.3. Keep in mind that there is a privacy risk there. Don't set all of your transactions to the same exact fee rate. So that is an issue. But yeah, I still don't think mempools will clear again. You know, maybe they will. If they do, then take advantage of it. But I think long term, we're going to be in a sustained high fee market at some point.
What do you guys think?
The question is how long.
What do you guys think of encrypting your recovery phrase as a complement to the secure element? Overkill.
Well, that's two different things, right? So, if you have it in your device, if someone gets access to your hardware signer, then you're relying on the physical security and the PIN that is provided by the hardware signer, right?
Cold cards. It has two secure elements, which makes it much harder to hack.
And they have the duress pins. They have a lot of different ways you can handle that situation. And you add multi-sig to that, and you have a really, really robust security model. But then you have to somehow secure your backup, right? And so if you're just securing your seed words as naked seed words, and they're somewhere and someone gets access to them, they can still spend your Bitcoin. Once again, this is something that multisig helps. And so you can do different things to try and make that more secure. You can think about physical security things like safes. You can think about passphrase, which is effectively a 25th word on your 24-word phrase that is not kept in the same place as your seed words. You can think of something like seed-XOR, which is supported by Cold Card, which splits them into two pieces, and you need both pieces of the backup to spend. But the one thing to keep in mind here is that you have to think about your threat model. You have to think about what is your situation. The situation for me and Marty as public Bitcoiners is a completely different situation from ordinary freaks who people might not even know they use Bitcoin, right? And so you have to think about this threat model. Who are you protecting against? What are the realistic scenarios in terms of someone trying to separate you and your family from Bitcoin and try and accommodate that at the most reduced complexity possible? Because the more complexity you add, the more likely it is that you will mess something up and lose your Bitcoin. And if you, the most common thing in Bitcoin is people losing their Bitcoin, whether that's from rug pulls or mistakes with self-custody, than theft. Way, way, way higher. And this is why for a lot of non-technical folk, I really like BitKey, because they just remove the seed phrase altogether.
Yeah.
Right? They're like, we're not going to be NSA proof. But for the 99% of people, they don't care if the NSA can steal your Bitcoin.
And you'll have access to your Bitcoin.
And they make it really simple. Jeffy's so that's my nuance.
Jeffy's making a really good point in the comments, too. If a hardware wallet I own is lost or stolen, I operate on the assumption that the seed phrase secured on the device is compromised. Point being, if you do lose a hardware wallet, you have the backup, it's probably wise to recover using that backup and move the Bitcoin
to a
new wallet.
Even if you're using a Cold Card, just think of it like it's buying you time. Now, in practice, the attacker's probably not going to be able to compromise the Cold Card. But yeah, you have some time. Move it to a new wallet, reset up. You don't want, no matter what device you use, you don't want someone to have physical access to your device. If someone has physical access to your device, assume it's compromised, move to a fresh wallet, reset up. That's really good advice. Also, Jevy did mention that the reason he's not in the Nostr live chat is because we haven't figured out good mobile UX for it yet, and he's putting his kids to bed. That's a fantastic reason, probably one of the best reasons not to be in the Nostr live chat. I would just add that there's two Nostr apps that do have ZapStream on mobile, Amethyst on Android and Nostr on iPhone. That's Nostr with a U. They both have a Nostr live chat on mobile.
Yeah. Shout out to everybody who attended the HRF event. I'm extremely bullish on Nostr, Bitcoin, eCash. There are incredible people doing things that oftentimes go thankless. And for anybody who's there, who's listening, I want to give a heartfelt thank you for all the work that you're doing. It's important work. I've got to pee.
Dude.
We've got to hop in a car.
The imposter syndrome is real.
Yeah.
You know, whenever I do these events, like, we're not doing enough. You know, we're nobodies. I post in caps. I just post in caps. Dude, it's my small part. But the most bullish fundamental of this movement are the people that are pushing it forward. It's the people. Bitcoin doesn't fix this. Nostr doesn't fix this. Cashew doesn't fix this. Lightning doesn't fix this. People fix this. People that use the tools, that are empowered, that take and defend their rights, push the movement forward. Thank you, freaks. I love you all. Stay humble, stack sats.
Peace and love.
Tiki.